Hello, it's great to be here tonight. It's a privilege to share my testimony with you. And I'm sure people have asked George, maybe people have asked me, and I've asked myself sometimes, why do I do this? Why do I travel around different churches giving me testimony? And one day at church, the pastor picked out this chorus. I love it. It just says why. The chorus says, God forgive my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know I live. Most people, when they give their testimony, have a favourite verse. Well, I have a favourite two chapters in Acts, but I'm not going to go through it tonight. But I do want to mention the Apostle Paul briefly, because I see a lot in him, seeing myself. Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, a Jew. He called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a very, very religious man. He loved the Jewish religion, and he knew every commandment, and he knew all the law, and he was very jealous of it. And when Christians started to appear, he saw them as a threat to the Jewish religion. And he started persecuting them. He started smashing their house churches, throwing them into prison, beating them up. And he was present when Stephen was being stoned. So you could say he was a persecutor of Christians. And one day he got letters or permission from a high priest to go to Damascus and collect more Christians if he could find them and throw them into prison. And on that road he met Jesus. And Jesus came in a light. I think it was the glory of God was the light, and it blinded Paul, and he fell to his knees and he asked, who are you, Lord? And there was a voice that said, I am Jesus who you persecuteth. Paul was led away to a house where he stayed for 3 days. God came to a priest called Ananias and told Ananias to go and bless Paul. Paul's reputation was so bad that the priest said, I can't go to him, for he's a persecutor of the Christians. God says, I want you to go and bless him. I'm going to use him. He went and he blessed Paul, and Paul received his sight again. I believe he received his spiritual sight as well as his physical sight. And within 3 days, Paul was in the synagogues preaching Christ. And I think that's an absolute miracle. A man's life changed like that. His life was transformed. He was a persecutor, and within days, God had transformed him into a preacher. Now, if I can tell you anything tonight, I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ is still alive today. He's still performing miracles. He's still transforming lives. And I can tell you that with absolute certainty, because he transformed my life. I am 56 years of age. But for 47 of those years, I suppose I was a bit like Paul. I was very religious, thought I was a Christian, but in actual fact, I was living in darkness. I was born in Oma to Roman Catholic parents, very, very good parents, and they didn't spare the rod whenever I was bold. And I thank God for parents like that, and the world would be a much better place today if parents disciplined their children. They were good living, and there were prayers in the house every day, every night. The Sacred Heart picture. We said our rosaries in the house and in church. We went to holy hours on a Sunday night after going to Mass on Sunday morning. All sorts of ceremonies and rituals, benedictions and incense and prayers and priests dressing up in robes. And I have to say that I loved it. I thought it was great and that God was there. The first real thing I remember about the Catholic Church was my first communion. At school we were prepared for months and months before it. And this piece of bread that we were going to receive was the actual body of Christ, we were told. And it was to be treated with such honour. We were told that if this host touched our teeth, our gums would bleed. We were really scared and treated this with great reverence. I grew up thinking God was a very cross person. I was told that Christ was a very cross person. But that I could go to his mother, Mary, pray to her and ask her for whatever I wanted, and she would go to Jesus. And the theory was, I suppose, an Irish sort of a thing, a son always listens to his mother. And today that still goes on in the Catholic Church. And I thought the road to heaven was like snakes and ladders. If you were good, you went up the ladder, and if you sinned, you went down the slide again. And you couldn't really be sure how much good you had to do, or how many sins would drag you away, how much would get you into heaven, what you had to do. We were told that we couldn't ask God directly for forgiveness. We had to go to a priest in confession. Small things you could ask God for forgiveness for, but mortal sins you had to go to the priest. And these mortal sins were like murder, robbery, things like that. But one other thing that was a mortal sin was missing Mass on a Sunday. And if you died in the state of mortal sin, you went straight to hell. There was no help for you. I went to Christian Brothers School in Omagh. Very, very harsh discipline. And looking back on it, and I'm not here to blame anybody, but I wouldn't have called them Christians now. We were told the Pope was infallible. Anything he said doctrinally was true, and there was no question about it. We believed that Mary died okay, but her body was assumed without sin into heaven. Believed in holy water. The Mass in my day was in Latin. The priest read from the Gospel okay, but he didn't preach in it. It was usually some thing about everyday affairs that he preached on. If we prayed, we could gain a thing called plenary indulgence. We could go to Mass, say certain prayers, visit the graveyard, and we'd gain a plenary indulgence, and that would release one soul from purgatory and into heaven. We believed there was a place called purgatory, where if you were died in a state of sin, but not mortal sin, people could pray for you, and eventually you'd be released from it. But you had to spend your time in there to be punished. We believed that children who died without being baptised went to a place called limbo. They never got to heaven. And that now has been done away with. And over the years, the Catholic Church has relaxed the rules. They used to be very, very strict about things, but now you don't even have to go to Mass on Sunday. You can go on a Saturday night. And I'm ashamed to say that I did go on a Saturday night, and then I could go to the pub, and then I could lie in the morning and not have to go to Mass. We believed that God was resident in the church, in the tabernacle where the hosts were. I started to work in the hospital in Omagh. I was quite innocent because of strict parents, but I lived in a very worldly workplace. I lived with my parents for a few years, and that was a moderating influence. I had young relatives and young people who I worked with who were killed in accidents in those early years. And I had no real concern about them. I was sorry about them, but I wasn't concerned. I moved out into a house on my own, became more worldly, started doing on-call in the hospital. So I earned a lot of money, and I was able to please myself for many years, enjoy myself doing things that a Christian shouldn't. Through the hospital, I met my wife, who's a lovely person, still, I would say, a better person than me. And we have a daughter now who's 19. Being married and having a daughter settled me fairly well, but we still enjoyed the good things in life. And that included drinking. Then work got more and more pressurised. I was doing on call. I was busy 5-6 days a week, up at night. And there were certain things happened at work where I was standing up for things that I believed in that were wrong, and I started being bullied. And I got ill, very, very ill. And one morning I got up and went to the shower, and I stopped breathing. I didn't know what was happening at the time, but I just couldn't breathe. I was in the shower, I ran out. A very, very strange sensation, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And I couldn't shout up to my wife to come down, so I just started banging doors. My face got redder and redder. I got weaker and weaker. My eyesight started getting hazy. My wife started to come down and just pointed to my mouth. And at that stage, I thought, this is it. I'm dying. And I sort of seen myself looking down at myself, dying on the kitchen floor. And I just so badly wanted to tell my wife that I loved her and I loved Claire and just to look after her, but I couldn't do it. Eventually she thumped my back so hard that I started choking, and eventually I came around and she said, "You're not going to work today, or you're going to lie in bed today, you're not going to work." And I said, "I'm going to work, I'm too scared to be on my own." That night I went to bed again, woke up the next morning, the same thing happened. Choking. I thought I was dying again. I stayed up every night for a week after that. I was scared to go to bed. I thought I would die in my sleep. And one night I was so tired that I fell asleep and woke up in the dark, banging furniture, glasses, everything around me. Wife came down and said, "That's it. I'm taking you to the doctor tomorrow." I was admitted into the Alton Galvin Hospital for a couple of days. And I was on a treadmill and doing all sorts of physical exercises. And I couldn't even turn the wheels on the bicycle. I was that weak. But they couldn't find anything wrong. And I was in there one night and I started choking. I took a glass of water and I found that if I took this glass of water, I could stop myself from choking. So they released me from hospital and I went home still scared that I was going to die at night. And every night I had to take a large glass of whiskey or something to calm me down enough to sleep. I look back at that time and I think God was at work. God took away all my props. I had nothing to lean on. Outwardly, anybody looked at me would have thought I had everything. A lovely wife, child, house, car, good job. But I felt I had nothing. And that sounds a terrible thing to say. I had nothing. So I took some time off work, stepped back, started going out in the summertime for long walks and thinking about the beauty of nature and everything. And talking to myself, and I realise now maybe I was talking to God. I was praying maybe for the first time in my life. But I took these walks up in Donegal at a place called Rosnoula, and there's a Franciscan friary up there, which is a Catholic monastery. And I thought, I'll give this one last go and talk to the priests about my problems and my fear of going to hell, because I had missed Mass on Sundays and things like that. And I thought, where will I go if I die? And I went to the priest and I said, "I've missed Mass a couple of times." And he said, "That's okay, you know, Mass is an invitation, it's not a command." I told him other things and he didn't seem to care. He says, "Have you committed adultery? Do you gamble? Do you drink?" And that's all he was interested in. He wasn't interested in my problems. And I left there very frustrated and let down. About that time, a friend from work, a Christian friend from work, asked me one Sunday night to go to her church. And I felt obliged to go because she had come to her daughter's first communion. And I went to the church that night. It was the Independent Methodist Church in Enniskillen. And people at the door met me, shook my hand, and I thought, this is odd, they've arranged this just for me because I'm coming, and I didn't realise people did that. And then they started singing choruses, and it wasn't a choir away at the back of the church, it was everybody was singing. And then they looked to sing the first hymn, and these hymns were lovely, and everybody was singing and smiling, and I thought this was lovely. Then the pastor got up to pray. But it wasn't praying to me, he was just talking to God. You know, it wasn't out of a book, it wasn't any prayer I heard. He was just asking for ordinary things. "Lord, help the sick and pray for missionaries and pray for this meeting. It was just ordinary talking to God, and I didn't think that's not really praying. And then he opened the Bible, and he read a portion of Scripture, New Testament, I'd heard it before. And he talked about it afterwards. I thought, that's strange, I never heard that explained. And it meant something. He had a message for today. So he asked me back. I went a second time, and I remember he took something out of the Old Testament, and it just was gobbledygook, meant nothing. And yet he explained it, and there was a message that was relevant for me today. So I kept going to this church on a Sunday night and going to Mass on a Sunday morning. I was hedging my bets. But then, with time, during some of the hymns, I felt a choking sensation in my throat. And at times, I felt tears in my eyes. And when he preached about Jesus on the cross, dying on the cross, and why he died on the cross, I got quite emotional. And I found it hard to take, because I'd heard all this before. We'd done the Stations of the Cross, heard about the Passion of Jesus. But one of the things that I asked myself when I was young, why did Jesus have to die? If he was God, could he not have killed those Roman soldiers, got down on that cross? And for the first time I realised that he had to die, and that he died for me and for my sins. And I'd never heard that before in the Catholic Church. And I was 45, 46, 47 years of age. I'd never heard that. And it was so simple. So, one day I was up again at Rosnarla and I was out walking. And just my mind opened. There's no flashing lights or anything. I just said, I see it now. The whole thing made sense. Jesus coming down, being born as a man, going to the cross. It just made sense. It was so simple. And that I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to go to confession. I didn't have to go on pilgrimages. I didn't have to beat myself up about things. All I had to do was ask Jesus to save me and forgive me. And he'd do it. And that was a revelation. It just, all of a sudden, my mind opened. I said, I see it now. That's exactly what I said. I realised that I was a sinner and I needed salvation, and that I didn't have to do anything. It was offered to me, but I had to take it. It wouldn't be forced on me. So I didn't respond immediately. There was many meetings I went to, and there was invitations given. But then there was a mission, Dr. Gallagher Passmore from England came over. And every night I was just sitting with a red face and saying, I have to do something about this here. Conviction was so strong. And on the last night, he asked for the last time. And I looked around me and put my hand up and down like that there so nobody'd see me. And I remember going back to that back room and he asked me questions. I said, yes, 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 yes. I just wanted it so badly and grabbed it, this thing, salvation. And I was elated and elated. But yes, there were temptations after that, and the devil came to me a weekend after that and really, really got at me. But I couldn't win. And I was delighted. And it took me weeks to tell my wife what I'd done. And she couldn't understand, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't tell her. I couldn't explain it to her at the time, because I really didn't understand myself. At that time, my daughter didn't go to church, my wife didn't go to church, and I said to my wife, I want Claire to go to church on a Sunday, either with you or with me. And she says, you take her. And she came to church with me every Sunday night. And one night, the pastor gave a sermon, and he made an invitation, but it was just an invitation to ask Jesus into your heart. He didn't ask people to respond. And I would remember talking to her many nights, going home in the car, and I thought she was fiddling and fiddling with her hair and everything. And she'd ask questions about that night's sermon. But this night I said, what did you think of that tonight? And she said, I've asked Jesus into my heart. And that night I was just so elated again. That pure, simple, childlike faith. That's how I had come just. And I was elated that night. I think a testimony is not just what God, how God has saved you, it's what God has done in your life, and it's a continuous thing. And you can lose your testimony. Your testimony has to be up to date. It's what God has done in your life all the time. And God has changed my life in so many ways. I thought I was religious, but I wasn't a Christian. And then when I became a Christian, I wanted to give God something back. But so often I thought, what can I do? I can't speak. I can't talk. I don't know much about Christianity. And I started taking Bible classes and going to Bible college, doing different things. And I tell you, at that time, I couldn't go up on a pulpit to speak to people. I used to teach classes at university, and I was stumbling and stumbling and stumbling. And the very fact I'm here tonight, maybe not stumbling as bad as I used to, is testimony to God's grace. And it's given me a real feeling for other people, especially for Roman Catholics. And he took me out to Fatima, and I was absolutely gutted what I seen out there. People going to this shrine to worship Mary. And don't forget, I can't criticise them because I was like that. I believed all those things. Out there, thousands and thousands, 750,000 arrived out one May for a final mass. And I seen them crawl on the ground, punishing themselves, walking miles and miles from all around Portugal, sometimes barefoot, carrying heavy weights, sealing their mouth with sellotape because they'd made a promise to Mary that they wouldn't speak until they got there, punishing themselves. I've been to Kirkpatrick down south. I've been to Loch Derg. These poor people trying to get to heaven by their own efforts, and they'll never do it. And that's a real burden to my heart. And I just wonder, are you here tonight and you're not a Christian? You're just in here tonight out of curiosity. Somebody's invited you. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight, and I ask you to come back and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear what he can do for you. Because believe me, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. You might think, maybe you're not a Catholic, maybe you're a Protestant, and you've come to church and you're a faithful churchgoer, but you're not saved. And you think you'd like to do it, but your past is awful, and he wouldn't want me. That's not true. Jesus wants everybody. It's not his will that any should perish. And he can save anybody, anybody, no matter how bad they are. So don't let that stand in your way. And if you're a Christian tonight, I would urge you, do you care about the unsaved that are in your church, that are in new buildings or anywhere around? If you really are a Christian, you'll have a burden for these people to reach out. You mightn't preach, you mightn't go out to missionary work, but just in your own home, reaching across the garden fence, just speaking to people, befriend them and tell them about Jesus. There's things in your church here you can invite them to, like this family meeting. God has changed my life. I could talk all night about it, and I've just rushed through it there. But he's changed my life. He's changed me. I've got assurance of heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Sometimes the devil comes at me. He'll come to anybody, even a Christian. But I have that assurance. You can't take that from me. And you can have that assurance tonight too. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to pay. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to light candles. You don't have to do anything. Just ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart and to save you. And he will do it. It's as simple as that. And I wish I had known that many, many years ago. Thank you.